All right, good morning, everybody. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. So our subject this morning is the debt of love. A debt of love. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. The Bible says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Verse 8 is where we're going to get the idea from. Owe no man anything but to love one another. And Paul goes through and describes the law, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But he talks about owing, don't owe, you know, don't be late on your payments. Don't be late on your honor, for instance. And he just treats it all sort of the same. There is a certain debt that, well, not debt, but like he says, honor thy father and thy mother. He says, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor, tribute to whom tribute, all those kinds of things. So he talks about financial things, and he talks about spiritual matters. And as an example, you know, don't be late on payments, pay taxes, things like that. But then also spiritual matters like honor thy father and mother. And that's honor to whom honor is due. And you might say, you know, children who disrespect or dishonor their parents may be told they owe their parents respect. You owe your parents respect. You owe them. That's like a debt. That's something you owe them. And if you don't pay that debt, or I should say, if you're late on that payment, if you default on that debt or default on that payment, it's going to be more difficult. You're going to lose some things, and so it's going to be more difficult to buy it back, buy back a testimony, things like that. So owing the whole idea of owing things, Paul says, don't owe any man anything except this, that you love one another. And the reason he says that is the law. He brings up the law, and we'll get to some questions in a minute. The law, he says, is basically comprehended in this. The very first thing the Lord says in the law in Deuteronomy, when he gives it the last time, therefore entering the promised land, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, strength, mind, that thing, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says the whole law can be put into that. If you did those things, you would never be an offender according to the law. And so, conversely, I guess, you could say that all sin springs from either I don't love God like I should, or I don't love people like I should. Because if all my offenses towards God, or go back to Israel, when he gives the law to the nation, all their offenses can be summed up in these two things, then that would mean any of the offenses would be a break of from either loving God or loving their neighbor. So that's why he says, and you and I are in a position, and as Israel was, we're in a position of being sinners, so that means we've broken the laws. That means at some areas of our lives, in some places, we either didn't love God like we should, or he didn't love people like we should. And so that was the breakdown. And then that manifested in adultery, that manifested in theft, that manifested in a various, you know, those are some big ones, but it just manifests itself in sin in some way. And so he says, the basic breakdown, the basic problem is you and I are in a position of, we've already broken God's law, and what we owe is not only do we owe God love, but we owe other people, because that's where the breakdown was, if that makes sense. And he's just dealing with other people. I know it's hot in here. All the ACs are going. I don't know what the deal is. So I'm sure we'll be paying for another AC. So ACs are on. At least they should be. I turned them on a while ago, or turned them down. So it's okay? Really? Okay. So the Lord says, the Lord says, love one another. And what a great application. How perfect. He says, live in such a way that you don't force someone else to carry your lack of responsibility. When it comes to loving others, live as though you owe others. Because honestly, that's where the whole thing is summed up. And not just live like that. The reality is that's where we've broken God's law. We didn't love God enough, or we didn't love people enough. And it's hard. I mean, this is tough stuff. So in this Sunday school lesson, we're going to talk about this. Not just loving each other, but really loving each other and loving people, but the debt of love. But we're going to talk about it from the sense of how it gets challenged. What are some ways? Let's ask this question to start off here. Thank you. I got to wear this. It holds the 10 microphones I got to wear. So here's a question. We'll make it through here. What are some ways love for other people gets challenged? What makes it hard to love other people? Yeah. Yeah. Which is exactly what Jesus Christ said. He said, look, it's easy to love people who love you. That's easy. That's the easy thing. What I'm telling you is you need to love your enemies. So what you guys said is exactly what gets addressed in the Bible. He says, look, everybody loves people who love them. That's not new. All right, so challenges, people who are who are mean, or how did y'all say it? People who mistreat you, of course, that's a big one. David said it this way one time. He said in Psalm 116, and David, trying to serve God and serving God, not just trying to, he was successful at doing it. But he was so attacked and so mistreated in his service for God. He said one time in Psalms, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Meaning he had reached a level of cynicism that was just like, you know what? I am done with people. I'm trying to live right. People are constantly maligning and setting traps for me. And he said, but he recognizes it. He said, I said in my haste, meaning I got so frustrated with people that I just said, everybody's a liar. Everybody around me is a liar. And then Jesus Christ says it this way. So I'm just kind of verifying, going along with what you guys said. Yeah, that makes it tough to love people when you're surrounded by people who, at least you feel surrounded by people who hate you, or people who are trying to use you, or people who are trying to hurt you in some way. But I'll say this, though, just remember, the Lord knows those things, and he still said what he said. Like that those things aren't new to him. Here's another one. He says in Matthew, we will get to that, and yes, good point, Nancy. Yes, you can love someone. It's possible to love people from a distance, and sometimes you got to, which we will get to. Good point, Nancy. Yes. Yeah, let's put it on ourselves. What's in us that makes it hard for us to love people? Good point, Mike. Pride. I don't know. What's an example? Give us an example of... Yeah. Grudges, yeah. Holding grudges. Well, and sometimes I thought about you guys in law enforcement with this, and people in ministry at this, but law enforcement, I mean, you deal with the worst of humanity. And you get to a point where you think, you know what, I can't trust people in general, because there's no telling what they're thinking, what they're going to do, or how they're going to hurt me, or how selfish they can be. Yeah. Right. You get so cynical. Yeah. Well, that's true. You get cynical of people.
Well, that's what you were just saying about David.
Exactly. Yeah, and David's serving the Lord, and he's doing it successfully. And he gets to a point in his life, and it's like, you know what? I can't trust anybody. But he... Yeah? Paul? You can't... Yeah. But do I have to love my plumber? Right. Here's another one. Here's what Jesus Christ said about in Matthew 24. He says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And that's kind of the same thing. As persecution ramps up, people become snitches on other people. People become untrustworthy. And so the tendency and the reality is you just clam up, because I can't trust people. So how do I extend love if I can't trust you? And so the tendency is, as iniquity abounds, as there's more sin going on and people are engaging in sin more, and maybe even the government is imposing threats on certain groups of people, then you just see the love of many and I understand he's talking about tribulation, stuff like that, but it's just a reality. It's just a principle of reality. It's life. As iniquity abounds, the love of many, it just waxes cold, because you feel like you're surrounded by lies. You feel like you're surrounded by just people who are just maybe out to use you or for some selfish thing, and so cynicism becomes a big issue, and it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I read a couple of. I don't know. I read some of these. Have y'all ever heard of Alexander Solzhenitsyn?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, he was a Russian man, and he documented how communism kind of came through, and people were rounded up, and people were put in prison, and he just documented this stuff. And this was back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, something like that. And so I understand if you haven't heard of him, but he's got a book called The Gulag Archipelago, and it's from, I think, the 50s or 60s. This is when it was published. It was written decades before, but anyhow, he documents how people start to distrust their neighbors, how people start to just become more and more isolated as sin abounds. And it just, people become less and less willing to expose themselves or willing to give of themselves to other people, because it's just, there's just a lack of trust. Well, and that's absolutely. And it may not even be the people in governments, they may have the plan, they may understand a bigger picture, or they may not, I don't know. They may just want power, and so they keep doing things that give them power. But in the long run, what it does is people are becoming more and more isolated. People are becoming less and less caring. People are becoming less and less approachable. People are just, the love is disintegrating in society. Yeah, fear is the thing. Fear is it's almost a religious principle that you have to be afraid of everything that the talking heads say you have to be afraid of. And so some ways love gets challenged. All right, we talked about a couple of those things, and you understand those. So let's deal with the second part. Nancy, you brought it up. That's a good point. And maybe it's not just not government or anything like that. Maybe it's in a family situation. Here's a question. Can you be loving while distancing yourself from someone? I agree. Yes, you can. And sometimes it's needed. What? Yeah. You know what the saying is? Good fences make good neighbors. That's true. It's true. And so, can you be loving while distancing yourself from others? How about the prodigal son's dad? Did he love his son? Yeah. Did he chase after his son? No. Why? Because if his son ever decides to change his mind and his dad's in the same ditch his son's in, well, where's the son going to go? So love can, I agree, y'all said it, absolutely. And sometimes it takes a wall to help people love each other. Sometimes it takes a wall. Sometimes it takes a good fence to say, you know what, we're going to continue to be friendly with this fence in place. His wife still loves him, but she doesn't like him anymore. That's, yeah. Yeah. Say it again, Billy. Mm-hmm. Right. The point is, and you can lovingly say no. It's possible to say no lovingly. That's a full sentence. That's good. That's right. So here's another question. I like these question answer stuff. That's good. Is it possible? Here's one. Is it possible to love people without getting hurt?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think of Isaiah chapter 53 when Jesus Christ is described as a man who is acquainted with sorrow acquainted with grief, acquainted with sorrow, those kinds of things. In fact, look in Isaiah chapter 53. I'll just read the verse. Yeah, you accept the. All right, so that makes the someone who's setting boundaries seems like someone who has clearly been hurt by something. So the question of is it possible to love someone without being hurt? I don't know if it's possible. I don't think it is. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. You can be hurt by loss, and it's not like not like someone doing something to you. But that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, Jesus wept. Here's Isaiah 53. Look in verse 3. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. I think if the creator of all things showed up in a body to love people and was hurt by people, I don't know how you get out of loving people without being hurt. I don't know how you do it. In 1 Corinthians, I'll give you another verse. Just 1 Corinthians 13 talks so much about all these things. It says, charity endureth all things. And if you're enduring things, that probably means they're not pleasurable. They're not something you want to be going through. So here's the follow up with this. If it's not possible to love people without getting hurt, like if you just say, you know what, and that's probably why people don't love other people. A lot of times is because they've just been hurt too much. I'm just tired of being hurt, so I'm not going to allow you to hurt me anymore. So, but with this expectation, if it's not possible to love without getting hurt, you know, and I know, we're told, you owe it to a people to love them. That's a Bible truth. Now how that's done, we've talked about some of that. So how do you adjust your expectations or how do you put yourself in the right perspective to say, you know what, I need to love you. I'm going to love you, but this is how I'm going to love you. Or I accept that I may be hurt in this, but I'm commanded to love you. Yeah. Love is sacrifice. It's self-sacrifice. It's a choice. The Bible says greater love hath this. How does it say? Greater love.
No man
no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That means he just gave everything he could possibly give. Right, so there's a measure of it. So it can be measured by a sacrifice. So love is actually measurable by a sacrifice, which I think everyone probably understands that intuitively. I mean, you know the words "I love you" have some meaning, but the sacrifice of "I love you" has that means more. That carries greater weight. That has a mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13. Right? Long suffering, all those kinds.
So there's a lot of differences in love is.
How it's applied, yeah. Definitely. There's a lot of differences in how it's applied. That's true. That's true.
And far too many people where their sorrow there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think personalities have to do with what might hurt somebody else may not hurt somebody else.
Right.
Because the hurter, we don't realize that we're causing somebody pain.
Yeah. Which is, you know, so just a little bit off topic, but a couple weeks ago when we talked about guilt and false guilt, and I knew probably a lot of guys don't understand that. But it's better to understand that other people do have those feelings, and they do feel that way. And so there's like you're saying, Mike, it can be applied in different ways, and how you know how to apply that is you understand sort of people, understand where they're coming from, and understand a little bit about them, and understand they don't think like you think, and they don't have your history and things like that. And so it takes time to get to know folks and then know how to apply love and things like that. A lot of y'all look like y'all want to say something. Being offended is a choice. Right.
Whether I say something to Beth or to Laura, and Laura gets offended, I can't control that. That's on her. I mean,
it is.
It with
right.
And I say hello to both of them, but
yeah.
I can't control that. You know what I mean? Right.
Can't control the way it's taken. Yeah, misunderstanding is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that brings up. Yeah, sharing the gospel. So, what you just said, Josh, is actually in my notes here. That's the next question. When does love not look like love? Yeah,
when you
yeah, when you look back and say, "Wow, they knew what they were doing." Look, all right. Look in Proverbs chapter 13. Look at. Proverbs 13, because all y'all, what y'all are saying is good examples. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Or maybe it's it doesn't look like love, and as a parent it doesn't feel like love either. Here it is, Proverbs 13, verse 24. Josh, you brought up two good ones. Preaching doesn't always And preaching can be done without love. I mean, it's possible that just because someone's telling the truth doesn't mean they're telling the truth because they love someone. They may just be telling the truth because they want to be right. 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 Yeah, she is just defensive and very, yeah. Well, with her situation, just quickly to address it, it was self-righteous. I do not believe Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. I don't believe that. I believe I have to be a good person. That was the belief. And that was what you're dealing with. Here's one, Proverbs 13:24. How about, what are some ways love doesn't look like love, or love doesn't even feel like love? Here's one. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So that's probably something that it doesn't feel like what we're doing is love, but I know it's needed, and I know it's the right thing to do, and to the world it doesn't look like love, and to I don't know whoever or maybe watching or whatever, and more importantly though, I think love doesn't always have to feel like love either. It doesn't, in this situation, how does this feel like love? Maybe you feel mean afterwards or whatever. You had to discipline your kids, and so, man, I didn't like doing that. So that's the other side of that. So when people live together and say, we love each other because we're in a physical relationship, you don't love each other. What you do is, you lust after each other, and eventually that dies out. And what are you left with? I mean, who knows what you're left with? You can be left with a lot of things. Kids. Yeah. Right. You do know what you're left with when that happens. But it's true, like Beth said. I mean, it goes both ways. Some things are love that don't feel like love. And some things are confused with love that aren't love. He says that in fact, that reminds me, look in Ephesians. I'll show you a verse that goes exactly with that. Ephesians. Let's see, I gotta find the verse here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. These two things get confused, or this thing gets confused with love all the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The first word there, fornication, that gets confused with love regularly. We love each other. We just said a verse before, walk in love, but don't walk in fornication. Meaning, this isn't love, this is something else, this is sin. So there's some ways, right, so there's some ways love doesn't look like love, and then there are some things that are confused with love that aren't love. Which is why it's so important to not be conformed to this world, because you're going to confuse a lot of things with things they aren't, and your interpretation of reality is going to be off. You'll think this is love and this is not love. You'll think this is honor, this is not honor. You'll think this is how I serve God, this is not how you serve God. I mean, it's just, if you conform your mind to the world, then you'll have these wrong ideas about, well, for instance, love. So, all right. Any others? Any other ways love doesn't look like love? Or something that gets confused for love? I think we covered some big ones. Do what? Acts of service. Yeah. Do you have an example? Any examples? I'm trying to think of.
Well, people doing things because they feel they're obligated to do it, but down, you know, they're doing it because they resent it. You know?
Okay, yeah. Acts of service out of guilt. I'm asking. What about, I don't know. I wish we could stuck on some of these questions because I know you'll have good answers for them. Going back to this, because I'm going to wrap it up in just a second, about loving people from a distance. How does that, how can you do that?
You just keep them at arm's distance to protect. And you don't have to subject yourself to that pain. Every time I do, I get hurt over
it. Which is, that goes back to, I think, partly anyway, the prodigal son's dad and the prodigal son. It's like I love you as a son, but I can't follow the road you're on. I can't. In fact, if I do follow the road you're on, you won't have any place to come back to. And I have to make sure you have a place to come back to.
How do you make sure he gave him enough that if he made smart choices, he would have been able to survive?
Yeah.
He had no bad feelings about leaving him and making him go and not giving him enough to survive. He gave him what he was due and it was enough. He abused it.
So, all that said, going back to Romans chapter 13, the instruction is, owe no man anything but to love one another. And part of the exercise in this is sometimes when you can, I think, air out the accusations or air out the challenges, it sort of disarms the challenges. It's like, not yet. I understand. Not always. But it's a way of disarming the challenges. Like now we've discussed this, and I know we could talk about it more. But the problem with loving people, it goes back to what Jesus Christ said. It's easy to love people who love you. What I'm telling you is you need to love people who don't love you. How do you do that? Because that's the instruction. Right.
I don't owe you my time. I don't owe you any of these things, but love.
Right. And love looks like a place to come home when you're ready to come home. And that's what love is. Well, and what you said, Lord, that the world doesn't view this the same way. And that's why it's important, again, if you are pressured into conforming to the world's view, you're not going to, number one, you'll be disobedient to God, so you'll lose some blessings there, but you'll also go down the same road the world's gone down. And God. This, and it got contentious quick. No, that's good. That's I like hearing what you guys say. So far, I do. So it's like, but it's good. And like I said, the purpose of some of this, there are some instructions in the Bible. And if you deal with the challenges, like we'll all be tempted and pressured to not love people. That's the point. You will be tempted and pressured, and you'll be tempted and pressured to be cynical of people. And loving people doesn't mean you have to trust everybody. You don't have to trust them. But like I said, sometimes love just looks like a home to come back to. Look, I'm going to provide a home. And when you're done living out this life, and when you've exhausted this world and you've used it to the extent you're going to use it, there will be a home for you to come back to. There will be a place and people who love you where you can come back to. And that's like the prodigal son, and I don't know, maybe I'll have some other examples of it, but love doesn't always look like love. At least in the world's eyes, it doesn't always feel like love to you. To me, it doesn't feel like love, although the Bible says that, look, this is love. This is about Jesus Christ on the cross. The world sees a criminal being crucified. I mean, that's what Rome saw. That's what the Jews saw. That's what the people gathered around. They just see this criminal, and he's just being crucified with these other criminals. But God said, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that was the expression of the love of God. But to the world's view, that wasn't the expression of the love of God. The expression of love may be, I guess in the world's view now, it's acceptance of everything we say to accept. You have to accept this. But not only accept it, you have to promote it. And if you don't promote it, then you don't love people. That's not love. That's religion or something like that. But understand this. We do this exercise because the commandment is, he says in Romans, owe no man anything but to love one another. And the Lord said these things knowing full well everything we just discussed. I mean, these things aren't a surprise. They aren't shocking to him. In fact, sometimes I think when we talk about being hurt and being and loving Jesus Christ, he didn't even distance himself from pain. I mean, he immersed himself in humanity and experienced and felt, and Jesus wept and experienced grief and sorrow and all those things. And he didn't even protect himself when he loved people. He didn't protect himself. He exposed himself to cruelty and mocking, and as I mean, talking about his death, of course. But righteous anger. All right. Anything else y'all want to? Okay, we've aired it all out. That's good. The debt of love. The debt of love. the debt of love. Just remember that. I want us all to go home with the idea that everything we talked about is not new information to God. And he still said, you owe it to others to love them. He still said that. Now, how that manifests itself, there can be different ways, according to 1 Corinthians 13, but that's the debt. Don't owe man anything but this, to love one another. That's the debt. That's the debt. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful, and I pray it's been profitable. Deal with some of the negative aspects of loving people and people loving us. We can be just as unlovable. Pray you'd help us apply the things that you've told us to do in our lives, and help us be better Christians. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.